Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Welcome back to the show, my friend. If we have any new listeners among us, hi, welcome. My name is Nicole Hagen, and I am the host of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast and head coach at our little online nutrition coaching family. Nutrition Coaching with Nicole. I have been doing this work for over a decade, which makes me sound incredibly old. I am, in fact, 34. I recently told someone on a podcast interview that I was 35, and I came to realize after the fact that I lied. I'm not 35, but I guess I'm in that stage where you start to forget how old you are and then have to ask your spouse afterwards if, in fact, what you said was true. And my husband was like, no, you're still 34. Nice try. I do this work and I'm extremely passionate about the work that I do. And I gladly provide this free resource for you. I don't get paid to record podcast episodes. It'd be wonderful if I did because I enjoy doing it. But I am so very passionate about the work that I do because over a decade ago, I had one of the worst messed up, disordered, unhealthy relationships with food there ever was. I was stuck subscribing to diet culture food rules. I lived submerged in restriction and deprivation. I exercised as a form of punishment. I obsessed over foods and believed in food morality, felt so much guilt and shame and fear around my food choices. And I remember how that felt so vividly, because it really bled into every other area of my life and it drained the life force out of me. I've said this before, but I don't have a lot of memories from my disordered eating days because every thought, every second of every day was consumed with food. Thoughts of calories, fear surrounding food, how I was going to get away with eating less than what I knew my body needed around other people. Flash forward to today. I have and can confidently say the healthiest, happiest, easiest relationship with food and exercise that I have ever had. It feels so life-giving, pours back into me rather than taking away. Freedom. Ease, peace, joy. I do not have to worry about how many calories are in something that I'm going to eat. I can eat wherever, with whomever, and enjoy the food that I'm eating. I move my body because I love how it leaves me feeling, not because of the calories that I'm burning. I no longer weigh in multiple times a day. I'm lucky if I weigh in a couple of times a month, to be honest. All of that to say, I underwent a complete transformation in my body, in my relationship with food and exercise. And having undergone that transformation, there was no other option than to commit my life to helping other women create similar transformations in their lives, in their bodies, and in their relationships with food and exercise. So that's why I'm here, doing what I do, coaching amazing women towards the healthy, confident relationships with food that they desire. And I imagine that there are quite a few of you who have started the new year. This podcast is being recorded and will air in January of 2024. And I imagine that there are quite a few of you who have started the year off with a weight loss goal or resolution. And in an effort to make sure that you successfully reach the weight loss goal that you set for yourself and do so in a healthy, life-giving way, because what the hell is the point of creating weight loss if it's not healthy and if it's not life-giving and it's just going to come back after you lose it? I'm going to talk to you today about how to ensure you don't let the scale sabotage your success. Because after 10 plus years working in the health and weight loss industry, I can confidently say that this is one of the biggest barriers to creating lasting change. So let's talk about it. But first, let's set the scene. You have a weight loss goal. You want to lose weight. What you really want, whether or not you know it, is to lose body fat. Because if you wanted simply to lose weight, you could dehydrate yourself for a couple of days. The scale would go down. The number on the scale would go down. Yay, you would celebrate progress. Logically, we know, well, that's not a flex. That's not a win because I don't want to produce weight loss simply from having less water in my body. I want to lose body fat. I actually want to look leaner. I want to fit in smaller clothes. I want to feel better. And you certainly wouldn't feel better walking around dehydrated, right? The same can be said for chopping off a limb, extreme, right? But go with me. You could chop off a limb and the number on the scale would be less because you lost body mass. Again, that's not what you're looking for, right? So when you say, I want to lose weight, what you're really saying is, I want to lose body fat. When we lose body fat, we live in a smaller, leaner body, but we get to preserve all of the things that are super important for health and optimal functioning, longevity, stability, independence, things like our bone mass, our muscle mass, our organs, tissues, ligaments, things like that. Water, things that allow us to feel really good and function really well. We don't want to lose those things. And this is why just seeing the number on the scale go down, when I don't know if it's water or muscle or body fat, is not necessarily something that should be worshipped or something that should be idolized. What we want is to actually lose body fat. Now, here's the kicker. There is not a single bathroom scale that can accurately tell you whether you're losing body fat, water, or muscle. So we guess, and we use other metrics, at least we do here at Nutrition Coaching with Nicole, to confirm or deny whether what we're losing is in fact body fat, or it could be something else that we don't want to lose, water, muscle, skeleton, etc. By using more than one metric, we're able to look for trends. So for example, if your clothes are fitting tighter, but the scale is going down, does that make sense? If the goal is to lose body fat. If the goal is to lose body fat, you're losing mass. There is less fat on your frame. Theoretically, your clothes would fit looser. That doesn't make sense. We're confused. Why is this happening? So then we may do something like girth measurements. What does the girth of your navel and your hips say? Well, if those measurements are larger and your clothes are fitting tighter, maybe the scale has gone down because you've lost some water or some muscle. Again, that's not a win. That's not something that we want to glorify. Now, if all of those metrics are confirming, yes, your measurements are down, your clothing fit is looser, and the number on the scale is going down, we can be fairly confident that what you're losing is body fat. And when that's the case, we see a lot of positive impact. So all of that to say, when you're going about weight loss in a smart and sustainable way, you should absolutely have more than one metric you're using to measure progress. This is the first way to avoid letting the scale sabotage your success. You don't live and die by the scale. The scale is one metric and it's very easy to use. You can absolutely use the scale to measure progress, but you do not let that number on the scale dictate whether what you're doing is working or not working before you confirm it or corroborate it with other metrics. Like I mentioned, clothing fit, girth measurements, progress photos, workout performance, energy level, libido. The list goes on. We can use a ton of non-scale metrics. Those are the most popular ones in conjunction with health markers. Things like blood cholesterol, blood glucose, blood pressure. If everything is improving, but the scale is staying the same, that's still amazing progress. If the scale is going down, but everything else is getting worse, your clothes are feeling tighter, your health markers are not trending in a positive direction, that's not a win. You see what I'm saying? So the biggest downfall, one of the biggest downfalls, I should say, of weight loss goals is that we allow the scale to dictate our progress when it's just one teeny tiny part of measuring progress. I want to share a story with you, and I'm hoping that this story, it's true, it's a client story, will help you to better understand your relationship to the scale and how we can use it in a healthy way to measure progress. I'm going to call this client Jane. Her name is not Jane. We're going to just go with that. Jane and I have been working together for about 6 months at this point. When Jane came to me, she wanted to reduce her blood sugar. She is diabetic and she's on medication that she would like to reduce and or get off of completely. And she also came to me with a pretty significant weight loss goal. When we started working together in late June, early July at this point, she was the gold star client. Every time we connected, she would ask clarifying questions. She would make sure that she felt super confident about the action step that we put forth together to make sure that she could actually do it between coaching calls and execute the plan in her real life. For the first 3.5 months of Jane's journey, she saw beautiful progress. You've likely heard me say before, if you've been a podcast listener for any length of time, that progress is not linear. And I stand by that. That's true. It is never going to be smooth sailing from day one to day graduation or until you reach your big, powerful goal. But Jane's journey at the beginning was almost too good to be true. But for the first 3.5 months, Jane dropped 33 pounds, which is incredible. It's actually a fast rate of fat loss. Now, as her coach, I was also keeping an eye on her energy level, her moods, her libido, her sleep quality, her hunger, her appetite, her cravings. Everything was in the green. Everything was going well. So we just rode the wave. Jane was crushing it. The scale continued to go down, 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 down every single check-in we had for 3.5 months. I couldn't believe it. It was almost like Jane was immune to barriers. Now, we're looking at November, and all of a sudden, the scale stops moving. So we have our first check-in, and it's the first check-in where Jane says, I feel like I'm doing everything right. Nothing really has changed, or I haven't noticed that any significant barriers have crossed my path that would explain this, but I didn't make any progress. Now, it's been a couple weeks, so I say, don't worry about it, right? Just let's keep plugging along. We are not even going to think about the scale not moving because this is the first time it's happened, and it's only been a week and a half since your last progress update. We're going to keep going. I want you to forget about this weigh-in. The next check-in we have, late November. Same thing. The scale hasn't moved. But when Jane and I are talking, there's nothing to explain it that we can fully comprehend. It's not as though she felt like she really went out of control around pumpkin pie around Thanksgiving time. Nothing has changed with her physical activity level. Nothing has changed with her consumption. She's not eating more all of a sudden, at least not that she can recall. I implicitly trust Jane, so I'm not doubting what she's telling me. Based on the relationship we've started cultivating over the last 4 months at this point, she's a woman of her word. I am equally as confused at this point as to why the number on the scale hasn't moved. So at this point, it's been 2 weeks. And 2 weeks is generally around the time when I start to say, what's going on here? If we know that someone is in a caloric deficit, which is required for fat loss, and we're not seeing progress, that maybe when we decide to change something up, is this person at a plateau? Now, I asked myself these questions. Jane and I continued to have conversation, and I did not think she was at a plateau. First of all, because she went from such a fast rate of fat loss to then all of a sudden not seeing any movement on the scale for 2 weeks. That doesn't typically happen. Typically, we would see a slower rate of weight loss before we hit a plateau. So that wasn't Jane's experience. Also, what she was telling me about her compliance, her intake, she wasn't counting calories. She wasn't, you know, tracking her exercise aggressively, but had a good understanding of what her life looked like, what her meals looked like, and nothing really was lining up in terms of why all of a sudden she would no longer be making progress. So I didn't feel as though she was truly at a plateau, even though the scale said, nothing's moving, nothing's working. Now, at that point, you might jump ship, right? 2 weeks of you putting in the work, putting in the effort, being consistent, especially after seeing 3 months of beautiful progress. At this point, you might say, this isn't working. I need to try something else. I need to try something more extreme. I need to do something more drastic, right? Well, Jane is a golden retriever. She is the best kind of client to have because she was trusting me implicitly like I was trusting her. And she said, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. She didn't jump ship. She didn't doubt the action steps and the healthy habits that she had started building. She just kept moving forward. And that is the best thing that Jane could have done. And I'm going to tell you why. So throughout our conversation, we're 2 weeks in, the scale hasn't budged. I start asking her some deeper questions. Something's going on here. Tell me how your digestion is feeling. Are you noticing any differences in how full you're getting after meals? Are you noticing differences in your bowel movements? And do you know what she said? Oh my gosh, Nicole, I'm so glad you asked. I've been so constipated. I haven't been able to go to the bathroom in days. Now it all makes sense, right? Because I know that when you're constipated, there is more bulk in your belly. There's more mass that is going to be recorded on the scale. So if you haven't gone to the bathroom, or you're not going to the bathroom as regularly as you typically do, the number on the scale is not going to accurately measure your progress, even if you're making it. So my hypothesis was Jane was continuing to make progress, maybe at a slower rate than she was previously, which would make sense, but there's no way she had plateaued and that her progress had just halted altogether. But if she was holding on to more waste and more water in her body because she was constipated and not able to go to the bathroom regularly, that would make sense as to why the scale was reading a higher number than what made sense for us logically. So I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We talked about some constipation tactics. She was going to increase her fiber consumption a little bit. She already was drinking enough water, but we just can encourage her to stay super consistent with her hydration. She was going to get some gentle movement and kind of keep things moving along. So we were addressing the constipation because I was confident that that was the barrier after looking at the big picture. Another 2 weeks go by. And the scale still hasn't budged. Now, I'm asking Jane, tell me about your bowel movements. Are you still constipated? No, she said, I'm going to the bathroom beautifully now. It's not an issue whatsoever. Now I'm really puzzled, right? Because I could have sworn that the constipation was the problem. That made perfect sense with the outcomes that she was seeing on the scale. So we start diving even deeper. I say, okay, has anything changed with your intake? I know it's December, we're around the holidays. Have you been having more treats and sweets? No, she's very, very consistent about monitoring those things because of her blood sugar and her diabetes. So we're asking about activity level. Has anything changed there? No, she has a very active job. Nothing has changed in that regard. I'm stumped again. Now, at this point is when I start saying, okay, let's make this make sense. The number on the scale does not make sense with everything else we know to be true. So let's put the scale aside for a second and look at your other metrics. Talk to me about your clothes. How are they fitting? She said, they're falling off me. I was able to put on a pair of pants that I haven't worn in over 5 years, she said. Okay, well, that's encouraging. That's telling us that progress is still happening. So why the heck isn't the scale reflecting that progress? We start asking about girth measurements, which we're also tracking. They're still trending down. Okay, that's indicative of fat loss. We're still making progress, which is what I believed to be true. But the number on the scale was still stumping us. It wasn't the battery. It wasn't that she was weighing in on carpet, right? She had it on a flat surface. So I asked, I said, when did you weigh in this morning? She said, oh, after breakfast. I said, oh, okay, you don't normally weigh in after breakfast, right? She said, no, but I forgot this morning. So I typically weigh in first thing in the day, first thing in the morning, as soon as I wake up. And that's what I put on my progress update sheet. But today I forgot I had breakfast and then I weighed in. I said, oh, well, that makes sense. Because when you eat and drink, there's more bulk in your body, right? There's going to be more mass that's reflected on the scale. Okay, that makes sense. We're going to scrap this weigh-in. I want you to weigh in again tomorrow, first thing in the morning though. So we're not going to pay attention to this one because it's probably up a couple of pounds. The human body can gain up to 8 pounds a day just from water and food, not body fat. This makes sense. Let's try again tomorrow. She weighs in the next morning and she messages me. Guess what? Nothing changed. The number on the scale was exactly the same. We're at 4 weeks now, which is incredibly long for someone to be stuck at the same weight if they are putting in the time, the effort, the consistency that I truly believed and trusted that Jane was putting in. And again, I'm asking her these questions. We're doing investigative work. Why the heck is this happening? All the other metrics are pointing to progress. We want to stay consistent because I truly didn't believe that she was stuck at a plateau, but I did want to figure out this mystery. So I start diving even deeper and asking her even more questions. And throughout our conversation, she had mentioned she'd been struggling with a sinus infection recently. You know, the holiday season, everybody's getting sick, passing things around, etc. And something just sparked in my brain. And I said, okay, you've had the sinus infection now for the last week or two. Did your doctor put you on any medication? She said, yeah, I am on a steroid. And I started laughing. I said, okay, first and foremost, thank you for trusting me because you have been a saint throughout this process. Most people after 1 week get frustrated if the scale doesn't move. After 2 weeks, we were both baffled, but okay, the constipation made sense. So we were going to keep plugging along. After 3 weeks, now we're really confused, really concerned. What the heck? 4 weeks? Most people would be long gone by now. But Jane persevered and she kept trusting the process. She kept trusting me because everything we were finding made perfect sense. And she also had the confidence that she was getting from those other metrics she was tracking. So I asked her what steroid she was on. Turns out she was taking prednisone. When we're taking a steroid, we retain water. This is something that I have learned and seen time and time again as a nutrition coach. The body retains water and the number on the scale goes up quite significantly when we're taking something like prednisone. Now it's temporary. It is water weight fluctuation. We're not immediately gaining body fat. It's nothing we need to worry about. However, we're probably not going to get an accurate weigh-in until the steroid runs its course and then our body returns to its homeostasis. So I said, okay, Jane, we're coming up on Christmas. I want you to weigh in. Her steroid, we figured out when it was going to end. We gave her a couple of days afterwards. And I said, this is going to be Christmas morning. And typically, I don't want you to think about weight. I don't want you to worry about this. I don't want you to message me or even think about me on Christmas. I want you just to be with your family. But because I know this is driving you crazy, and because I am a sucker for nutrition science and it's driving me crazy, I want you to weigh in on Christmas morning and text me what the number is because I'm confident that you have been making progress this whole month. We are trusting your behavior above all else and your habit compliance tells us that you're freaking badass and you've continued to show up for yourself and your goals despite the holidays, despite having, you know, family things that happen to all of us, sick kids, aging parents, that type of thing. You have been a rock star. The constipation was a temporary barrier. Weighing in after breakfast, another temporary barrier. Now I think the steroid has been the barrier for the last week or two, and we just haven't acknowledged it. So I want you to weigh in Christmas morning and text me. Now keep in mind, at this point, Jane has lost 33 pounds. But she lost 33 pounds in the first 3.5 months. For the last 4 weeks, for the last month, the scale hasn't moved at all. Maybe up half a pound, down half, but nothing significant. So she weighs in Christmas morning. And do you know what her text says? Merry Christmas, Nicole. I woke up to the best gift this morning. She sends me her weight and she says, happy, happy, happy. I hope you have a great day with your family. Overnight, Jane lost 5 pounds. Now, did she actually lose 5 pounds overnight? Of water weight, maybe, but the entire month that the scale had been reading the same number, just as I hypothesized, Jane was making fat loss progress the entire time. Her progress hadn't stopped. It hadn't stalled all of a sudden. We knew that because her measurements were still going down. She was fitting in clothes she hadn't worn in years, and nothing about her behavior made sense with what we were seeing on the scale. So in 6 months, Jane is now officially down a total of 37 pounds, which, if we factor for a weekly rate, is 1.5 pounds of weight loss per week, which is a beautiful, sustainable rate. But she never would have gotten there if she only used the scale to measure her progress. I am so incredibly thankful. I can't even begin to tell you how thankful I am for the trust that Jane has placed in me and the trust that my other clients place in me as well. Because I know if that had been me and the number on the scale hadn't moved for an entire month, I would have been frustrated. I would have been discouraged. But all along, I kept encouraging her to focus on what progress she was seeing in other areas. And we kept looking at other factors that we know influence that number on the scale. The scale jumps up and down for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with body fat. I know this. And so whenever a client is confused about why the scale isn't reading what they think it should read, of course we check in with behavior. Why does this make sense? Did maybe you underestimated the number of calories that you thought you were eating? Have you been struggling with emotional eating lately? Is your stress higher? Could you be stress snacking a little bit more frequently? But if none of that is happening and nothing has changed with physical activity level, we have to look at hydration. We have to look at salt intake. We have to look at bowel movements. We have to look at workout recovery. Have you ever been sore after a workout? That's your body's way of recovering. You know how it recovers? It pulls water into your muscles. So you are retaining more water when you're sore after a hard or new workout. Menstruation, whether it's PMS, whether it's period week, whether it's ovulation week, different women experience different scale fluctuations throughout their menstrual cycle. And lastly, medication changes. These things can cause so much confusion around the scale. And when we expect the scale to tell us good, bad, right, wrong, progress, no progress, we tend to sabotage our own success very quickly. This is why, I wasn't planning on doing this shameless plug, but this is why it can be so helpful to have someone else in your corner helping you to sift through the metrics, sift through the data that you're collecting from your body. Because if Jane had been on that journey alone, I don't know that she would have continued. I don't think many people would have continued. And that's not to fault her, right? Or anyone else. If I was doing something for 4 consistent weeks and I saw no results, why would I keep doing it? But to have the ability to have someone else in your corner say, okay, I get this isn't showing you progress, but what about all this other progress that we're seeing in all these other areas? To have someone be able to say, okay, let's sit back, detective hats on. Thank you. I almost said digestive hats on. Clearly I'm a nutrition coach. Put our detective hats on and say, why does this make sense? What is happening here? The body is so beautifully complex, far more complex than our bathroom scale. What is going on? I share this story with you, one, to just demonstrate how freaking badass Jane is. She just is so amazing. Two, to hopefully help you understand why you cannot use the scale as your primary or your only metric of success when setting out to achieve a weight loss goal. Should the scale go down if you are, in fact, in a caloric deficit, eating less than you expend? Yes. Will it always go down when you're in a caloric deficit? No. Will it go down linearly? No. Will it go down even if you've done everything right for the week? No. Because sometimes the body just needs time to catch up, right? Let's say you're in 1 week in to your new year, new weight loss diet. That's too soon to expect your body to show a significant amount of weight loss. It might happen, it might not. But there are other weeks where you might do everything right, but maybe you've been short on fiber lately, so you're a little backed up. Scale might not reflect your weight loss progress. Doesn't mean you're not doing everything right, just means you need to focus a little more on fiber. Maybe you started a new medication because you have a sinus infection or you have something else going on, and part of that medication comes with water retention. Again, temporary, not a big deal. Obviously, your provider prescribed that to you knowing that the benefits would outweigh the costs. You just have to be patient and stick it through and not let the scale sabotage your success. Every month, I know that when I'm ovulating, that number on the scale is going to be higher. So I don't step on the scale when I know I'm ovulating. It's just not going to tell me what I'm looking at the scale to tell me. That's fine. It's temporary. Sometimes the number on the scale hasn't moved or it hasn't gone down when we want it to because our behavior hasn't aligned with the outcome. That makes sense. If I've been eating more, even if it doesn't feel like I've been eating more, but maybe things are sneaking in. Calories are very, very sneaky. Or maybe I've been moving less because it's not as nice outside. Or I've just been feeling super fatigued because maybe I'm eating too few calories, so I haven't been moving my body at all. That makes sense as to why perhaps I haven't been seeing any progress. But if you're noticing other improvements and the scale isn't moving, don't jump ship. Stay the course. And maybe think about having someone in your corner to help you overcome those super sticky spots when the scale is stubborn and doesn't move. I know Jane's thankful she did. I hope that this story clears up some scale confusion for you. Can you use it? Yes, I am not anti-scale. Unless every time you step on the scale, you feel like a piece of shit and you question your worthiness. In that case, we need a break from it and we need to do some work around our relationship with the scale. And that's okay. It makes sense given diet culture conditioning. If that's you, put the scale away and let's find some other metrics to use to track your progress because you don't need to use the scale. But the scale is easy to use. It is widely accessible for most of us. And it can be a helpful metric. Just not the only one. So if you have a weight loss goal, I'm begging you to choose other metrics that you can use to confirm whether you're making progress when the scale says you're not. As always, if you need someone in your corner to help you, Coach Lauren and I are happy to be the coaches in your corner who help you reach your big, powerful goal in a way that feels best for your body. And for those of you who have a weight loss goal this year, for the love of God, please make sure that you are prioritizing your health, your well-being, mental and physical, and the sustainability of the results you're in pursuit of. Do those things and use more than just the scale to track your progress, and you are far more likely to be successful. Catch you on the flip side, squad.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.